Good morning, good day, good evening, depending on when you decided to tune in. It's a Thursday and it is time for us to say less on a podcast. How you do that, just watch, you're going to find out because we're not sure, but name is cool. It's an exciting time. I'm back. How was last week without me, girl?
It was great.
Wow.
I'm not going to lie.
Wow.
Guys.
Not like, oh, mommy missed you. Like something to make me feel cute.
I mean, yeah, we did. But, you know, Pucky's my boy. It was just, it was a great episode. But we did miss you.
Okay. I don't even know him.
The rest of the team?
Oh, the rest of the team. My bad. Hi, guys. Hi, everybody. I had a great time in Paris, by the way.
We are away.
I had a great time in Paris. I grew a lot in Paris. But before we get into her, the person, the guest, the incredible woman that we've invited to be a guest here today, the doctor, the good doctor herself. we call her Auntie Knox now, we've decided. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, let's just keep it to Dr. Kayile. It's fine.
Why?
Auntie Knox makes me sound like, is my name Nokolo? Is it Nokanya? Is it Noktula?
Can I tell you, I was like thinking the full one is Nokanya. Like,
yes, Nokanya is my full name.
So Auntie Knox?
No, let's keep it to.
So Auntie who? If our children meet you in the streets.
Don't look at me.
She's going to call me, so you need
Auntie
to.
Auntie K.
Auntie K. I like Auntie K.
Auntie K is also giving youthful.
Yes, yes. It's giving, you know, am I 18, am I 33, am I 34, you know?
Basically like your face.
Yes. Exactly like my face.
I love your face. It's
Thank
such a
you.
I've always loved your face.
Thank you so much. Babe, I love your face.
I feel like I'm interrupting something.
You are.
Don't tell my face is nice.
I'm joking. I just didn't want to ruin the chemistry.
Yeah,
y'all
we
were
like
having.
Your face too. Your face is nice.
That wasn't even why.
Your face is also nice.
Thanks. I mean, you made it, so.
100%. Oh, so you can say it out loud when it's the part. I made that face, babe.
You did.
From scratch, babe.
Baked it.
Babe.
In the oven, 9 months, girl.
Babe.
No glue, no borax?
No, nothing. Nothing. Okay, cool. This is exciting. So. Welcome to Say Less, babe.
Thank you.
I think we just, you know, we're saying say less, but in terms of like, you know what, you made a powerful point. So we invite powerful people. You say less.
Thank you.
We understand. I have just re-entered the world of social media recently and I bumped into your page, actually. Mm. It's amazing that you're here. I didn't even know that they were going to invite you to come in, like when I obviously was seeing the post. And it's not because of the post specifically, but because of the post, I was so excited to speak to you because I don't really think we've spent time since you became a mother.
Nope. 4 years.
4 years, babe. What is that? How is that going for you?
It's absolutely fun. I think what I like as myself being in the maternal journey versus being a doctor is when I had my daughter, I was like deep in like studying to be a pediatrician. I was seeing babies all the time, but like critically ill babies. So I never really got to find the joy that people speak about because it was always constant chaos. So now, like, seeing her all the time, like, as she develops, watching her go to preschool, like, learn how to read and all that stuff, it's really, really cool. And also, she's like my little bestie. Like, I'm still her mom. Mm. Best belief. Mm. But it's like we do things together.
Hey.
So, like, because my husband is quite reserved. He's quite a strict, you know. But she's just like me. We're just like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. She's a morning person with me. We like run around, sing musicals together. So it's really nice to have.
So he's now in a noisy house with two ladies.
Oh,
I mean, if it was
absolutely.
If it was a boy, it'd probably still be noisy. Boys are noisy.
They are, and they're busy.
And they're very
busy.
But
she's such a lady. She's like a thug princess.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, when she doesn't want to do something, she's just like, like she'll side-eye
she's
people.
She's so real for that.
Yeah, but at the same time, she'll like go to people and be like, please say sorry. You said a bad word. Or like she'll sit and have and when she sits,
is she gonna be a goody two shoes in class?
Probably. She's the first daughter. She's,
yeah. Yeah. Funny, so. Are you gonna have more?
Oh yeah, definitely.
How many more?
I don't know. Whatever God gives me and provides for.
God, bra God,
because
provides. Because. Dog. I'm joking. That's so exciting. That is so exciting. Tando, you wanna ask anything? There's a doctor right in front of you right now, girl.
Oh, yeah, I'm
We're
sorry.
Not even paying for this consultation.
I don't know. I wanted to let you guys speak about, like, your whole, like, a journey with motherhood so far.
Yeah.
I feel like that's an important, like, conversation for you to have.
Yeah.
But if we're really getting down to the nitty-gritty, like, Why'd you get into like mental health or like health in general?
That's a good question. So when I was in high school, I was the kind of person who was just busy with everything. I did like cultural, what, you know, academics, sports. But I realized that a lot of the things that I was passionate about was teaching people things. So either a new skill or information, empowering people to be able to use that information to make choices that were going to be good for them. And then three, like doing something that was going to help me not be bored. Mm-hmm. So medicine is the perfect combination of that. Mm-hmm. I also applied for accounting and I also applied for teaching. Mm-hmm. So I got into medicine. And then the reason I got into pediatrics.
So that's another way of saying I'm a straight A student.
Kind of, because then when I got to anatomy in second year, I got like 24% for my paper. And I
said, that's real. That's
that must
actually
be such a crazy experience to being like a boffin in school. Do you know,
absolutely.
You know the word boffin?
I can kind of put it together.
I was very smart.
Was.
And I just wasn't. No, because
in high school,
yes. Because, I mean, like they grade you compared to everyone else. And now when you get to medicine in varsity, everyone is super smart.
Everyone's
so they
cracked,
have to like...
So.
They have to stratify us according to, you know. Mm. So that was an experience. And it also taught me a lot about myself. Because now when you're in high school, there's like rosters. People are checking on you. Your mom's checking your homework. There's parent-teacher association meetings, you know. But now you're in varsity. They're just like, hey, as long as you get DP. So DP is like, as long as you make the minimum amount of classes, I don't care.
Girl, have you even finished your social?
Specialization.
No. Oh. You must have then.
Yes.
Where
yeah.
you go spend 2 years somewhere in the middle of nowhere for
yes.
the government.
So
and then
after
come back.
After I qualified in 2015, guys have been a doctor for 10 years.
That's crazy.
I know. Yo.
Gosh, girl, how old were you when we met? Oh my God. Sorry, okay.
So I graduated in 2015. Then 2016, 2017, I did internship at Barra.
Oh, at least you were home.
Yes.
I don't even know what that is.
Krisani Baragwanath Academic Hospital. The largest hospital
you're
in the world.
You're almost born there.
Oh, wow.
Almost.
You have.
Oh, yeah. They almost took her away.
They probably would have taken me to Joburg Gen, though, actually, now that I think about
it. Oh, okay. Because, like, that's two different areas. Like, how do you almost.
No, because like, I was supposed to give birth in Park Lane.
Yes.
At Park Lane. And then my gynae happened to be on Friday afternoons. He happens to be at Linksfield
yeah.
or Linkwood,
yes.
depending on which one you go to. And I was 19, as many people are aware, but I hadn't paid. So we hadn't paid. We didn't have medical aid, long story. And so at 5 p.m., they were going to send me to Johannesburg General if there was no money deposited for this birth to happen.
Hectic.
She decided to arrive at 5 to 5.
My queen.
Thank you. I always come on time.
Time guys, queen.
I'm always just there in time. Just in time.
Anyway, so yeah, please carry on.
Yeah, so then I went to do community service, which is mandatory in South Africa for a year. I did that at Spokane Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And then I decided to do pediatrics because what I realized about pediatrics is that there's a lot of components of the health system that you don't deal with in other specialities that you do. You're forced to deal with them in peds. So we can't just treat the child's condition. We have to look at, okay, can mom afford this medication? Will she be able to take time off work to come back? If mom can't take care of the child, is there like a family system around them? Is dad involved? Is there like money?
So kind of looking at therapist as well. Like you have to look at everything.
Psychiatry also similar, but I really loved working with children because I found that when you take care of one child and you teach that mom how to take care of that child, you kind of are inevitably taking care of the community.
Mm.
Because, I mean, then your auntie has a child or the neighbor has a child and maybe Smanbani will say, hey, I know your child did this. Can you like tell me what you did? So you kind of empowering communities that way. And because we have such poor access to healthcare in our country and it's difficult to access as well, that kind of like make it easier. So then I got to mental health because in varsity and in internship, I realized that so many people were struggling and either leaving the profession completely or even when we got out of comps, if people are like, we're leaving the country, we're not doing this thing, we're not coming back. So I try to understand what is the resilience that I and other people who stayed have that didn't lead us to have suicidal ideation that led to suicide, that didn't lead us to leave. What are the components of that? And that's when Mental Matters was formed in 2018.
Mm.
So it's now Mental Matters South Africa. That I formed with Gugu, thank you. So Gugu Masondo, we founded it in 2018 and we basically combined the two worlds of people living with mental health conditions and the healthcare providers that give out the plans. Because it doesn't matter that I'm like giving you this amazing plan and you must take this medication, blah, 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 blah. But if you're in an environment where you have to work long hours and the medication I'm giving you makes you sleep, it's going to affect my plan. You're not going to take that medication. Mm. If you are in the entertainment industry or you're a model and you need to look a particular way, this medication makes you gain weight. Mm. You're not going to take it. So as a healthcare provider, I have to understand that. But also, you as the person taking the meds needs to know. You need to be on this medication for at least 6 months, even if you feel completely fine, as we do with most antidepressants. And people don't understand why that is, and we try to kind of bridge the gap between the two.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, that's...
Wait, so I'm also just thinking, when your daughter grows up, like, she's not going to be able to fake going, like, not going to school because she's sick. That's like...
Sorry. Shame. So I'm very, like... Very like worried about that because I don't want other kids to get sick because I've seen what happens with outbreaks. So I don't want everybody there getting the sickness that she's got and then I get it and blah, blah, blah. So if she's like even today, she had like green snot and I was like, Gwen, you're gonna give this green snot to all the kids there. Stay at home. So.
But at least she's got a mom who's intelligent, who's also going to serve, like, making sure that she's ahead of the game at school. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, she's going to get her flu shot. She's going to get her, like, medication, her multivits. It's going to be healthy.
How do you feel? Because, I might be deviating here, but just quickly, you know, with the Trump administration and vaccinations, all the drama around that, I even started becoming a little less suspicious of vaccinations, even though my mother was a nurse, right? So I understand their importance, or at least what we've been taught about them. How do you feel about the conversation around vaccinations currently, especially with some of the stuff you'll see about like Bill Gates online, Uguti, he's trying to scam us and make us not have too many kids. Like all this misinformation that's happening on social media, as a doctor, how does it make you feel?
Yeah, so I think the one thing that is important about all of the discourse that's going on is that people are asking questions. Mm. Because before, I feel like people were like, oh, you guys are smart, you know the answers, just tell us what to do, and they just took it. Mm. But what's important is people are asking questions. The problem is where you get your source of information from is dangerous. So you can't go to social media to find out if Tylenol, which is paracetamol or Panado, is healthy to take and does it cause autism. Because what you're doing is you are drawing conclusions that are randomly picked. You're not understanding the literature. And also, to read a scientific paper, you need to have some kind of understanding of what goes into that process, what this means. So I always say to people, when there's something new that comes out, don't go to social media. Go to the relevant association. So for example, with autism and paracetamol, you would go to a pediatrics association. We have a South African one, there's an American one, all of that. If there is something talking about vaccinations, same thing. World Health Organization, the United Nations, all of those. So those are global authorities that have put years and millions into research on their own, that have come up with guidelines that the world is expected to follow. And if there's a deviation from that, it's not like we just say, oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, that makes sense. Let's go this way. No, we don't just make decisions like that in medicine. It has to come from informed choices that are researched over and over again. And the results have to be replicable. Mm. So just because it happens to you in this setting with 100 people, does it happen the same way in another country? Does it happen in the same way with another race group, another gender group? So there's a lot of things we have to consider. Having said that, personally, because I work in pediatrics, have seen what happens when people don't take vaccines or when they don't give their vaccines to children. Mm-hmm. So I individualize the conversation I have with each parent.
So they can get really bad like chronic diseases and stuff like that. Like it's been, guys, I watch House. That's all the medical. That's all the medical education I need.
I'll allow it.
That's all the medication I need. But I'm not sure what specifically they can get. But it's like it's some crazy stuff. Like sometimes it's their lungs. Sometimes it's like skin. Mm. Sometimes it's a problem with their heart.
You get all the stuff that you were supposed to not get from
the vaccinations.
Exactly. But so I'm what kind of the thinking, vaccines?
Like, what's the bigger? Like you've seen what happens. Like do children die or do they just get really sick?
So I think for me, children dying is the most painful one. But there's also something else: is that they have conditions that they live with for a long time. So for example, measles. If people don't get the measles vaccine, there are complications and that you can get from either being exposed to someone who's immunocompromised, which is their immune system is not strong enough and they then get measles, or you yourself getting it and then, for example, getting an orchitis, which is an infection in the testicles, and now you become infertile. Mm. So these are complications that I would individualize according to whatever it is. But the big one for us was polio, right? So polio was almost eradicated. We're having the polio vaccine, you get it at birth in South Africa and then again at 6 weeks. And then there are other, there's various combinations of it. But the big story is we've been able to minimize a condition that affected people's ability to walk. If we look at meningococcus, which causes meningitis, it can cause like skin conditions, etc. So all of these different things can cause problems in people who are not immunized. Mm. Now, in South Africa, sometimes what we find is that certain communities might not have access to those medications because of the cold chain, because of finances, etc. So we need to do what we call herd immunity, which is those of us who can get the vaccine should get the vaccine and protect those who can't or those who have conditions that preclude them from getting the vaccine. One of them being like their immune system is too weak that if we do get the vaccine, they could actually die, right? Mm, mm. But the same thing is with mental health. So we're talking about vaccinations, but even with mental health trends, I think we're seeing people over-diagnosing themselves, self-diagnosing themselves, pathologizing things that are normal everyday experiences, or like not like calling something anxiety when you're just really scared about having a presentation. Mm. He's like, I've got anxiety about it. No, you're just really worried about it. And your body is feeling normal things that would happen if you had a presentation or you had something you were scared
okay
about.
It's okay to be scared. Mm. It's a part of, like, and it's such a difficult thing to explain to kids nowadays. I know we struggled with this, especially in the beginning of our understanding of mental health when she became a teenager. So me, it was just like,
yeah.
What do you mean?
Like, get
you
know over what I mean? It, bro. Yeah.
Like, come on, dog. Like, like, it's just like you don't have... Trust me, you don't have real problems. And that's what a lot of black parents will... Wow, what happened to my English there? A lot of black parents will say to their children. And I feel like I've been on that side. And it's so difficult to be a parent these days because we all have so much information. Mm-hmm. Like, a parent is not always the authority figure when it comes to information anymore.
Yes.
And so, but they are the authority figure. And how does a family balance that world, you know, where children have access to so much information and misinformation and ideations of what, you know, mental health looks like and what they should and shouldn't be doing to take care of their mental health. The schools are getting involved. It's just like there are so many hands in the pot of raising a child, which is important because the village needs to raise a child. But like, when there's too many hands in the pot, there's so much confusion. How do you deal with situations like that when people are in your offices?
Yeah, so I think we must understand that children developmentally have different people that they respect over their lifetime, right? Mm. So to simplify it, I'll use the school ages. So kids in preschool love their parents. It's like, mommy this, mommy look. Mommy look what I'm doing. Mommy see here. When they see you in the concert, they're like, mommy's here or daddy's here. And it's like, yay. I want to show you this. I want you to see me. This is, you know, everything I do so that you can acknowledge that I'm your child and you love me.
Mm.
When you get into primary school, now they're getting to, oh, my teacher said this, my teacher is so amazing, or my friends, oh, these are my best friends, I love my friends, I want to go out with my friends, can I go do this with my friends? So you kind of move into that. And then when you get into high school, you start seeing them going out into the world, high school and varsity. They then start exploring other communities, people or situations that are different to them.
Like it's celebrities.
A little bit celebrities. There's a little bit of a rebellious aspect, not because they don't respect you as a parent, but because they just want to see, can I test a boundary here and can I push the boundary?
Mm.
And also, kids, when they're teenagers or what they call adolescents, are trying to figure out what sets of rules they want to follow, right? And that's why I think mental health comes into play a lot when kids are, you know, from teenagers. I mean, we have kids as young as 14 being diagnosed, you know. People who've lived with mental health conditions say they could remember in high school, maybe even late primary school, some of the feelings or symptoms of mental illness coming up, right? So what you have to understand is because of the normal developmental progression of a person's life and the different authority figures that they relate to, as a parent, that becomes tricky when now you say, in my house, we don't stand on the table. And then your child says, but mom, in Johnny's house, you say, is this Johnny's house here? Is this Johnny's house here? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or when they say, you know, you have to do your homework. And they're like, yeah, but Span Bunny wants me to go to this party. In your child's mind, that party is the most important thing. Let me tell you something. As parents, we understand what matters in life. But we are there to help our kids make the right decisions. Mm. And so with mental health, because we understand that there's so much other stuff that's important, we forget that when we were their age, at that point in time, that was the most important thing that mattered to us. And that's kind of a blessing because it means that they are safe enough to not have to deal with needing to make money or get money for food or needing to find shelter or needing to be in a safe environment. They have the privilege of complaining
about
things.
It's like in Maslow's hierarchy, when you are here and you've got too much time to think about nonsense. And that was one of the things. I actually said this to a friend once. I was just like, bro, your child is worried about this. Do you guys have a real problem? Like,
exactly.
You need to create other problems in your child's life so that they don't have time to think about all these other problems that I feel like once they I always felt like, and obviously now I interrogate my past type of like way of thinking. But when I hear you say people are pathologizing, what did you say?
We're pathologizing everyday experiences.
Exactly. And it's like children are finding reasons to be able to do that and so that they can be diagnosed. And for me, I'm having a very difficult relationship with medicine lately.
Yes.
Because I'm also one of those kind of like those conspiracy theorists who are just like, I've also heard that they teach doctors stuff, like even not, you know, I'm not saying you're part of the problem.
Let's demystify.
Right. Yeah. They kind of teach doctors things or sometimes pay doctors, which I don't think is really true, to prescribe certain types of medication. Mm. Almost like at a restaurant, a waiter will be like, yeah, the chicken's really good just because they've got too much of it maybe at the back and they need to get rid of it. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like, I hear things like that and I do worry, but if a doctor believes and they are taught this and maybe the school of thinking has changed and they haven't updated their school of thinking, I always worry that are they giving us medication that they don't fully know about? Mm. Like now I'm learning all this stuff about contraceptive pills, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like back then they would just throw them at us.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you've got, what you call those balls in your uterus? Fibroids. Oh, you've got this. Oh, just take the pill. Now it's like, I knew this thing wasn't great for me.
Exactly.
You know, so at what point do you trust a doctor and at which point do you trust your intuition? And are doctors maybe being vehicles, unknowingly sometimes, of a bigger pharmaceutical machine that is being used to like scam us basically to either get sicker or to make sure that they always have customers?
Yeah, so that's a very good question, right? We're always going to need doctors because people are always going to get sick, right? Mm. Or people are always going to have questions about their bodies, even if it might not be disease, you know? So I think what's important for us to remember is with pharmaceutical companies, especially in South Africa, I think we're more protected here because there's strict regulation compared to other places. But pharmaceutical companies can go to healthcare professionals and say, this is our product, and they can ask you to, you know, prescribe it. But it's not to say that you are going to get financial gain from that if you prescribe it. Mm. Those reps are out there to, in the same way that like you're taking one cold drink over another, like whoever gets the better marketing sometimes gets the more numbers or more engagement on that product.
Mm.
As a medical doctor, I'm still going to prescribe this drug because I'm going to treat this condition. If you had another condition, this drug would not even be on the table. So there's no need for me to even consider that rep.
Mm.
But because the reps know, the more they come, the more you're going to think, oh, this is the one I must prescribe more, you know, one over the other. So it's like if the two of you had come to me, if Tano says to me, no, and she's coming to me once a month, whereas I see you once every 6 months, I'm going to remember her product more and be like, oh, this is actually good. But the onus is on healthcare professionals to ask the right questions of the reps because you need to find out what side effects they have, what are the prices, especially because, you know, that can have effects for medical aid and the consumer pocket. And then secondly, also not just to just prescribe it because I remember the rep.
Mm.
You also have to like know, okay, yes, this is a great product and I remember it, but my preference is, you know, the other one. So there's a duality to it.
Mm.
I actually wanted to ask a question because, Tando, when was the first time you heard about like a mental health diagnosis? Like, was it
my own or just some in general?
No, just like in general. Anything. Like, was it at school? Was it on internet? Was it your
parents? Oh, I think my friend, I found out she was dyslexic and her mom literally said she was like a superhero. Like, the way she was explaining it, she's like, so basically, my friend's name, I think she was Noah. So basically, Noah is she's kind of like a superhero. Like her, your brain sees this. Everyone else's normal brain sees this, but her superpower brain sees like everything like backwards and changes it up. And I was just like, wow, that makes so much sense.
I love that explanation.
Right?
Because especially with children who are on the autism spectrum, we kind of try to explain it like that. It's like, it's not that they are abnormal. They just think differently and feel differently to you. In the same way that when you have a bad day, you just sometimes don't feel like doing certain things. They also just don't, it's just part of who they are. And in the same way that you might be able to change it and do something different, for them, they aren't able to change it. Doesn't mean that they're bad people. It's just who they are. Right. So it's really interesting that you got that from a friend's mom, whereas most kids today get those diagnoses from social media or the internet. Sometimes even the first time they speak about it at school, very rarely do you get it at home. It's the same thing about talking about sexual education. We very rarely speak about it in the home.
What about like during like lockdown? I was like calls, like I was everything in general for mental matters in like.
So mental matters, we prefer doing in-person events because I feel like also it's easier to concentrate like on what's happening if it's in person, and it's easier to engage with the content. So
and
we had to go, yeah, and
connect. To even build a community, yeah.
Yeah, and I think online, we had to go online because, you know, we have like 50 to 100, sometimes 150 people at our seminars, depending on the event we're organizing. And so we couldn't do that. So it was me going online, speaking more about a lot of people who were feeling more isolated. So with depression, isolation and feelings of loneliness are there. So if you stay by yourself, now you can't see the people who used to like keep you sane. Or if you're living in a difficult environment that's perpetuating your mental health or mental health issues, then there's abuse there. You can't leave. Your family is stressed also because now people are losing their jobs, etc. So it was trying to show people how to do the non-medical, like non-expensive things that can maintain your mental health. And it's simple things like making sure that you have tough conversations. And I think why that is so difficult is because you don't know what the other person's going to say, right? You can prepare yourself and be like, I'm going to, you know, it doesn't matter if they shout at me, you know, even if they swear at me, I'm going to be calm, whatever. But if that person is not willing to have that conversation with you, it's just difficult. And especially with parents and children, there's dynamics where parents feel like, no, like you said, I'm the authority figure in the house. And a child is like, yeah, but you're not listening to me. Like, I'm not, yeah, it's not apartheid. They're not going to shoot me in the streets. I just want to go to the mall. And you are thinking, gender-based violence, they're kidnapping kids, there's human trafficking, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, bro, I don't know anyone who's been trafficked. I just want to go watch a movie, bro.
No, she's cooking.
You know?
She's cooking.
So I think we have to remember that as parents, our duty is to protect our kids from everything, but also remember that they are allowed. Them. Yes, they're allowed to make mistakes, and we just need to kind of protect them where we can.
What about like parents, like in terms of demographics, like I guess like black parents and like white parents, or like all of their thoughts around mental health?
Yeah.
Like parenting thoughts, like what have you seen? Not only, I guess, with mental health, but also in like your days as a pediatrician, like you were just seeing this parent is just not cooperating.
She's still a pediatrician.
I thought like she was just doing mental health.
I will always be a pediatrician. They can never take that away from me. Okay, but.
Okay, yeah.
So that's a good question. It's interesting because
why do you like validating questions?
Because I think people don't understand how simple questions are actually really good questions.
Oh, okay.
So now people think they want to say, Dr. Kanyile, I'm a pediatrician in the South African context, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, no, it's black and white. It's like old, young. It's in, out, pediatrics versus in the real world. Those are simple questions that people might not think to ask. Mm. And those are the ones that actually need to be answered,
okay.
Right?
Because I've noticed like the fourth time you'd be like, that's a, now I'm starting to feel like that teacher energy of like, oh, she thinks my question is good.
I hear you. And are you scamming us?
I'm not validating
you. Are you scamming
us?
I'll validate you. When?
I'm watching you.
Okay, sorry.
Thanks. I'm being too nonchalant for that.
But I think so, everyone thinks there's like a huge difference between black and white. When it comes to diagnoses and managing those diagnoses and actually getting a child in the room to make the diagnosis, there is. So because people who are from African descent or lower income classes, they feel that there's more strife that they have to deal with. So mental health is not as much of a priority. the time to diagnosis is longer in their populations than people who have better access to healthcare or people who come from, you know, backgrounds. So white people, higher income. And it's not just like black people, it's also just higher income. You know, people who live in the burbs versus people who live in rural areas or
Kokasi. People have the time to worry about that part of Maslow's hierarchy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? When it comes to young and old, we're seeing diagnoses are made earlier and earlier. And you're even seeing numbers of autism going up, right? Now, is that because more children are
actually autistic,
diagnosed with autism? Or is it because the awareness about the small nuances are coming out, right? So, for example, danger signs for autism would be if a child's speech starts going backwards. So they were talking in sentences, now they're only saying one word and now they just don't talk. If children refuse to look at you in the eye, okay, that's a big thing. By 2 years, a child should be focusing on your face, eye contact. Even if you look at mental health conditions in young children, if you start seeing, I mean, obviously, like adolescents, you know, they become like too cool. It's like, hey, you know me, I don't need my mom. But when you start becoming more isolated, you start saying words that are concerning. I don't want to be here anymore. What am I doing here? Like, what's this about? If so, those kinds of things in a black household is like, ay, suga. Ay, man, just go to your homework. You're just complaining because where's a, like a white household or someone who's got more time for their children is not working extra hours, etc. They would be able to be like, okay, this is a pattern that I'm picking up and I'm concerned about this, right?
But I feel like for everything, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
Yes.
Though, because I don't know if I'm outing you here and we can edit this out. There was a time where, now this story that Tando's giving, this story that Tando's giving me is making a lot of sense in terms of what I noticed about her behavior when it came to mental health issues. I mean, I must also remember, guys, please forgive me. I was also a young mom. I was figuring things out for everyone along the way. Tando came home one day and she suddenly was like, I have Tourette's. And I was just like, what is that?
Yeah.
That's okay.
And she was serving us Twitches and she was just like doing a lot. Tando, I remember this thing very well. Like, I remember it.
And you know, I'm not going to say anything. It's fine.
Why? Fine. What's the
What's wrong with me sharing my experience?
I didn't say anything.
Okay, wait, let's finish and then we'll come back to see what Tando's going to say.
Yeah, we can also just edit this cleverly. But she came back and now she had a condition, you know, which involved twitching. And she would do it every sporadic. And then I was just like, girl, you don't have no Tourette's. And she was like, yeah, but I do. She was learning. And children are now diagnosing themselves because is there such a thing as like children having access to too much information? Because now she, for me, and children do, like, I also did weird things as a kid. It's okay.
I fainted.
You were really young, but you faked it.
I fainted.
In real life or like, wait.
No, at school, because I was like, there was someone who I wanted attention from at school. And then I said, yo, I'm trying to And
you were not nonchalant final boss.
Absolutely not. I was the most dramatic. Ask my mom. I was the most dramatic, hun. Like, I mean, I had issues. I said, yo, fainting. It was bad.
I studied harder to get someone's attention, like, once. Because, yeah, anyway. So, as a parent, like, when you know your child is scamming, you know, but you can't look like you are undermining the importance of being concerned with a child's mental health.
Yeah.
So I'm imagining you fainting as a child and I'm struggling to finish my sentence. But so Tando came back with a tissue. I was like, you know what? Oh, shame, babes. Maybe you should go to bed. At some point, I was like, oh, no, my God, go to bed. Yes. You know, you feel so whatever.
That is not true. Then, no, that's rage bait. Now she's rage baiting me. Now she's rage baiting me. There's
what happened?
No way.
What happened? Tell us.
No. I'm just saying that didn't happen. You did not react like that.
Oh, so it happened now?
No.
Okay, I'm saying you didn't react like that. I'm going to answer the question because I feel like now I'm getting into like, a babe, therapy session.
I'm just trying to find my way to my place. Anyway, so there was a point where it vanished.
Yes.
And then I remember, I don't know if it was the nanny or my friends or whatever at the time, because it was also embarrassing for me as a parent to be like, this person's twitching and she's telling me she's got this thing and she knows it's not real because it stops. Anyway, so what should a parent do in that situation? What's the hell? If I was in your doctor's room, which let's pretend, what would you say to me if I'm like, my child is saying there's this happening?
Yeah. So what happens is we tend to see with us as doctors, the symptoms either get worse when they're with us, like in our room, or they will just completely go away because now the kid is just like, whatever. But we know diagnoses and there's certain criteria that you have to fulfill. So a twitch isn't necessarily Tourette's, excuse me. It could be a lot of other things. So as a pediatrician or even as a medical doctor, I'll work through the symptom list. And then we kind of have like what they call malingering. And we can see, okay, this is probably, I don't know. And we see this a lot with particularly girls who are in like in high school or transitioning from primary school to high school. We see this with kids who are in abusive situations. We see this with kids who are very anxious or kids who are under a lot of stress. So either academic stress, they put pressure on themselves, their parents put pressure on them, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not always that the child is acting out because they want attention. Sometimes there's something that they're trying to run away from and that's coming out as this particular thing. Mm. And other times it is actually a diagnosis. So as a doctor, I would be able to work through what that is by asking specific questions in a particular way. Mm. That way, as a parent, even if I don't necessarily see anything wrong with the behavior, let's say the twitch, let's say, for example, it is not an actual medical diagnosis. I still have to say to you, okay, Pearl, if you see this and this and this, these are danger signs, or these are things that make you think, okay, this could potentially be a more serious diagnosis, then come back. But for the most part, we would be able to kind of find a pathway to go along. Is it medical? Is it psychological? Is it just...
My question is, when you are sure this child is faking something, what do you do?
No, then as a doctor, then I sit down and I...
No, but let's say I know this thing is not a real thing. Oh. So I'm not going to come to you and be like, okay, let's...
No, you must go to a doctor. You know why? Because I think a lot of the time we don't take our kids seriously. And you might not know whether what she's saying is real or not. And that's why it's sometimes important to have an objective person. Because, like I said, now it's traumatic. But there were times where I was actually sick and my mom was like, I wanna. And then I'm just like, mommy, I'm actually sick. And she's like, I saw that. And then, you know. But I think kids also have to understand the implications, and not just kids, but people in general. And I speak a lot about people who manipulate and say they're going to kill themselves as an excuse to get your attention, right? Mm. I'm not talking about it in a person who's actually calling out for help. We're talking about people who use it to manipulate you, right? They have to understand the implications of what that means. So if you say you are having this experience, it means that I have your doctor's number on speed dial. It means that we have to go to the hospital. It means we have to pay this thing. And I'm not going to pay it because, you know, whatever. We're going to have to come up with a plan together. You have to tell me when this is happening. It means this is an emergency. This is not an emergency. You have to leave school. And even if it is, and now personally, I'm going to be like, okay, if you're sick, then we can't go to the movies. Show me. The doctor's appointment is booked for that day when you're supposed to go to the movies. So all of those things... When you understand the consequences behind this action, if a child is really, really sick, or if a child is really worried about that thing, you know, they will accept the consequence. Yo, when other ones is like, oh no, can we go to the doctor on Saturday and not Friday night? You're like, Amara, are you, you know?
I feel like for me, my biggest mistake in that situation, because I want to get into how we could have all handled that better, is like just not making her feel like I take her seriously at such a young age, you know? That maybe is, for me, the one thing I wish, because I tried, but I just couldn't take this thing seriously. Like, yes. As a mother, like, I've seen you sick and I've seen you with a problem. Like, I know I just know when something's wrong with my child, at least, especially when she was, like, very much younger. But anyway, there was something I wanted to ask earlier that is just a bit of a detour at this point, but I really want to ask this question because it hasn't left my mind. Ukuthi, how is it in South Africa? Obviously, there's corruption. It's a governmental situation. There's a bunch of things. We haven't even segmented this episode. We just went straight into this thing. Wow. Like, there's mind the gap, common ground. We're just going. Sorry, babes. It is what it is. How is it in South Africa that we have such powerful healthcare? Like, we have very good healthcare in terms of our professionals. Mm. We have the things that we have achieved in the health industry, if I can call it that, are incredible. Mm. I always boast about how incredible our doctors are in South Africa. Yet, as a system, our healthcare is a mess.
Yes.
Like, who is the rotten apple in the system?
Okay, it's multi-layered, multifactorial. I think we must understand that in South Africa, 85 to 87% of the people living in this country access public healthcare.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people, with only about 20 to 30% of the funding. Right? If you look at private healthcare, that's the majority, all the people... And all the money goes there. but they only take care of 17 to 20% of the to 15 to 17% of the country, right? So because of that, what you then see is that there are a lot of inequalities between standards of care. But all of the people who work in private started in government in South Africa. And even if they came from other countries, there are exams and things and qualifications that you have to get to be able to work and apply to work in South Africa. So the first thing is we have a, it's not an education issue because we all get the same education as doctors. It's a funding issue. And then if you look at the way that the government works, I think because hospitals before used to have like CEOs who didn't even need to be medical doctors. They were just business people who would come in and order stuff, but they don't order the right things. So in pediatrics, our babies are small. The same thing I used to drip you, Tando, is not the same thing I can use to drip a baby who's 28 weeks old, right? So on paper, there's stock, but practically I can't use that stock. The other thing is staffing shortages, right? So people want to like expand hospitals and make them big and beautiful, but we can't take on more patients.
They're always understaffed too.
Yes, if you don't have staff to expand this ICU. Okay, fine, the facility is great, but who's going to take care of the people that you're putting in the facility? And so we also need to understand that the way that we pay healthcare providers in this country has to be equal. Because in private, it's like the more you work, the more money you get. But in government, you could work 6 hours, you could work 60 hours. We all get the same salary. And that sometimes is problematic, and also with the levels. The last thing I think we have to understand is just that the way that people speak to each other and take care of each other in private versus public healthcare from a healthcare professional standpoint is very different.
Really?
So, yeah. So if you look at, for pediatrics, I feel like we're a little bit more gentler with our, each other. I mean, that's the experience I've had. But I've seen like in different disciplines where during a teaching round, people are being berated, interns are being shouted at, people are collapsing like in theater because they're so exhausted, they can't cut anymore, they can't carry on anymore, and they're being shouted at for being lazy, etc. So I think there's a balance.
Who's shouting at people for being lazy?
So the seniors will shout at the juniors, or the seniors will shout at each other because I don't like you, and now the way that you manage this patient, I would have done this. It can get toxic, but it's the same way like in corporate, right? It can get very toxic. Moral of the story is, because there's so many different aspects that contribute to this healthcare system, because we don't have the basic resources, we can't improve things like mental health for healthcare workers. We can't improve better working hours for healthcare workers because we don't have staff. And therefore, the staff is sometimes too exhausted to even... There have been times where I literally had to pray and I'm like, God, I'm so annoyed. I'm overstimulated. Everyone's been calling me the whole day. It's 2 a.m. I've probably only eaten one meal a day. And this mom is looking at me with tears in her eyes. And she's like, please just tell me what's happening with your baby. But I have to run to another emergency. How do I, if I'm not mentally strong, deal with that? Mm. Right? And then know that if once I'm finished with that one, I have to come and talk to this mom and try and get like a 20-minute nap so that I can push until maybe 12 or 1 p.m. the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's exhausting. It's frustrating. And because we don't have that resilience, that worries me. Because if as medical professionals who know what the components of health are and the implications of poor sleep, poor diet, stress, etc. is, and this is what's happening to us, what's going to happen and how do I help you guys with your relationship issues? How do I tell Tando that you have to actually sleep because it's important for your learning? And they're like, you guys don't sleep and you guys operate on us. So why are you telling, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, that's
what wild. About like the percentages with teenagers and mental health like recently? Like, I don't know how to formulate this question, but like, okay, including social media, okay?
Yes.
When it comes to mental health matters, has there been a spike in like depression and anxiety and all of that in teenagers?
Mm.
And is it only due to social media, or is it also the fact that like people, train of thought.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, people are just more aware of themselves and they just want to get more help.
Yes. So one is particularly during COVID, there was like a spike of mental illness, particularly depression, suicidal ideation. So suicidal ideation means you have thoughts of killing yourself, not necessarily the actual act, but there were increases in suicide as well. And healthcare workers particularly reported burnout. So you would see all levels from seniors to juniors reporting burnout going up by 17 to 20% in those populations, right? So there's the one aspect where there was a situation that caused people to have more healthcare, I mean, mental health illness, because the things that were protective, being with other people and being able to leave a toxic environment, being able to not have to stay at your computer and be shouted at your boss at 8 p.m. because now, you know, you have to be online all the time. All of those protective factors were taken away. Then there's the second thing where, because we have so much information, so much access to information, people are diagnosing themselves. So what they're doing is they then going to healthcare professionals to get those diagnoses or get medication for it. And this is where I try as Mental Matters South Africa to bridge the gap, to say, sometimes you can have a really bad day that if you don't manage becomes a bad week. If you don't manage becomes an acute disorder, which is less than 3 to 6 months, becomes a chronic disorder, which is more than 6 months, that leads to dysfunction. Now, dysfunction and disorder are two different things. The example I use is, you know, I recently lost my best friend. And so that was a really difficult time. Girl. Thank you. It's okay. But that was really...
I didn't want to interrupt you. I didn't want to say sorry.
It's fine. So that was a really bad day. That became a really bad week, okay? But I have a lot of factors around me in my life that I've instituted to help me deal with that stress. And so now I'm cool. What would happen is that bad day becoming dysfunction would be, I don't trust people anymore because I'm scared they're going to leave me. I don't want to get in my car because maybe I'm worried she died in an accident. So am I going to die in an accident? I now start having really depressive thoughts because I'm like, now I'm alone. She left me. Blah, blah. That becomes dysfunction. So I have personal between, like within myself, interpersonal with other people.
This is my favorite part of what we're doing right now. This is like speaking to me. Sorry.
Yeah. Interpersonal. So between people. So now I don't trust other people. Now I don't want to go to work anymore because I'm so sad all the time. And that's work and income. And then there's also my health. So now I'm not eating, I'm not sleeping, I'm not able to concentrate on anything, right? That's dysfunction. Dysfunction over a long period of time becomes disorder. When it gets to dysfunction, that's when someone has to say, Pearl, girl, you haven't been sleeping. What's going on? And then you say, no, since this happened, I've been feeling this way. And then we can go back and help you deal with that. Mm. Okay. But a lot of the time people have lots of stresses and lots of things, so they don't even know when, you know, they just stop sleeping or when their concentration issues happened. And then something small like an exam or an assignment or a work
will just set you off,
will just completely trigger you, and now you are in disorder. All right. And that's why a lot of women, when they have children, have perinatal depression that becomes a depressive disorder.
Mm.
And so you see that they had these issues that they didn't deal with. They have pregnancy, which is huge hormonal fluctuations. And then that leads them to pregnancy, perinatal depression.
Mm.
So with teenagers, you find that because of a similar thing, you have an abusive family at home, you've got a difficult childhood, maybe there's not enough food at home, you live in a dangerous community, you're seeing crime every day, you're seeing trauma every day, you're not doing well at school, maybe there's someone bullying you at school. Then you get to adolescence. Huge hormonal shifts, and that becomes disorder if we don't manage it. And that's why when your kids say, I've got a tummy ache when they go to school, or yo, I've got a headache today, or and then you see them, you tell them, okay, stay at home, and then they're completely fine. I always ask, what's happening at school? Is it a teacher? Is it a colleague or like a school friend or whatever? Is there someone bullying them? Sometimes you have to even ask, is there a boyfriend or a girlfriend that's stressing them out? Or is it that some kids really put pressure on themselves academically to perform, and they don't want to let you as a parent down? And I think this is very important for me to realize now, especially that I'm a mom. I have expectations of my child in my mind that I must never put on her. She can know what they are, but she must not be feel the need to meet those.
Mm.
I mean, there's certain baseline things. You have to have manners. You can't go around hitting people. Mm. You can't like not tell me where you are. You know, you can't be rude. But when it comes to academic performance, when it comes to social performance, when it comes to who you marry, when it comes to, you know, all those social things, we need to allow children to figure that thing out. And sometimes we just have to allow them to make mistakes, because the best way, and people have shown this, the best way to succeed is to fail and fail and fail. As parents, have to create that environment. So pregnancy in the same way as like adolescence, lots of hormonal shifts, and that's why we see mental health disorders arising there.
What should we do, like, for people that are watching? Like, if you see someone either having, like, an episode, because one of my closest friends has bipolar. I mean, I know, because I've obviously been educated by that person. So there's, like, either a depressive episode or just episodes in general, or you see that someone's struggling. What exactly do you think other people should be doing?
Right. So if you look at the definition of mental illness, according to the World Health Organization, or mental health, according to the World Health Organization, it's an individual's ability to contribute to his or her society, given the normal stresses of life or of the community, with his or her own individual abilities. And importantly, it's not the absence of disorder. So if the other thing they talk about is it's a pattern of dysfunction, right? So you know a person's individual abilities, you know your own abilities. Right. If someone starts doing things that are outside of that, so if someone is normally high functioning, suddenly they're not like taking things seriously, they're making super dark jokes that they never made before when they're really, really optimistic, or they're speaking about death a lot more, that's kind of outside their ability, right? We talk about normal stresses, right? So if there's an abnormal stress that happens, I mean, South Africa as a baseline is an abnormal stress. God stresses about us all the time.
Like, okay.
But if you know that something recently happened, or maybe even a while ago happened to them, and they haven't really spoken about it, but now you see there's a behavior, there's patterns that come out. Mm. If you start realizing that there's dysfunction, so maybe they're fine with you, but now they're not doing well at work or school. They're fighting with their parents a lot more, and you're not really sure like where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. All of these patterns of dysfunction. You go to that person and you say, I'm noticing X, Y, and Z. Is everything okay? And leave it there. They must then see that as an invitation to open up. Or sometimes people are not ready. So they'll say, no, Chomi, I'm fine. Just push a little bit more. Are you sure? Because I'm worried that this means that you are going into another, like with your friend. I'm worried that this is a depressive episode coming along, right? And once you do that versus, ooh, hi, Tando. Okay, Zaga. Aibo, what's happening?
Now sometimes you need that friend also to be like, I'm okay, Zaga.
No, it's gonna bring you down, especially if someone's in an episode.
If we are papa, then it's fine.
Okay, so we're talking about bipolar.
Yes.
We're still talking about something else.
It's fine. Because even me, you know, we are Guarana. Like, Guarana is my love language, you know?
I understand.
Yeah. But if this is like a friend of yours who you actually care about and you're seeing this pattern, coming to them with that is like, it almost looks like, yo, hi, no, Chomin, get right. Yo, I just forgot. You know what? There's an excuse that comes up. Whereas if it's genuinely someone like, friend, I'm seeing this and this. Are you fine? It shows you that you're acknowledging that something is happening. You actually see me and you're actually wanting to know if I'm fine. Because sometimes, yo, life is tough here. Maybe I'm just having a tough week and I haven't bathed because, yo, I haven't had time to.
Or I'm fooling,
you know? Or sometimes it's just like, I'm too tired to get out of my bed and shower.
So we basically have run out of time. So Tando, I'm gonna.
Oh my gosh, already?
Babe, like, I think we've run out. She's been panicking there at the back. And I didn't want to cut you off because you were going off. Like, you were cooking real. Like, it was hot in the kitchen. Okay, so Tando can get her words ready. I just want to quickly ask this.
Words? No, everything.
The game. Yeah. It's all on the screen now.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Let me ask my question.
Technology.
This question is for me. So get involved if you're in. But this question is for me. So I have a late diagnosed ADHD, right? Which has had me go through like years of just like depression patterns, like just going in and out of it and forcing myself out, fighting, doing my thing, and then just falling back flat again and burning out or whatever. Because I think one of the things that has empowered me now to even talk about it is, or to understand it is, I love Trevor Noah's conversations around the topic. They've really, really helped a lot. And understanding that this is my superpower, you know, and no matter how bad it's gotten, because maybe had it been figured out earlier, I'm almost glad it wasn't, because now the ADHD medication is also kind of hectic, but it is great, especially if you're trying to be in a normal schooling system and the demands of that. But I think...
Sorry. Can I just say, the reason we give children medication when they have ADHD is because we don't want them to fall behind in learning key things. So, for example, if a child is 5 or 6 and they have ADHD, they need to learn how to read and write. That's a key skill that they need later on in life, right? So the reason we give them the medication is to protect that period of time. And once they've got those skill sets, the aim is to get everything else protective. Their schooling, their teaching, their sports activity, if they need to, so that we can wean them off. Even with adults, like, we, the aim for the medication is not to treat your ADHD. No, it's to help you function in the things around that diagnosis. Yeah, sorry. I just wanted to clarify.
I'm with you. That's why I even said, so that they can keep up with what's happening at school. It's unfortunate that we're in a we are forced to be in the situation because the schooling system is not getting a software update that it needs, you know, to deal with the new things that we now understand as parents, as teachers, even as kids. But anyway, so I think the positive outlook that I'm now building and the narrative that at least I'm getting off social media, to be very honest with you, is that ADHD can be a positive thing if you learn when to get your dopamine or how to get the dopamine, because apparently I'm dopamine driven. And when they describe people who are ADHD, I feel so seen. Like, I'm just like, okay, I'm not alone. Okay, there's other people doing it. Okay, what are we doing, guys? Yeah. Like, how do you do this ADHD thing? Because I need to tap into whatever the superpower of this situation that I'm in looks like. And it's such a scary place because I feel like, wow, had I had this information prior about how to cope with ADHD or how to just understand it. Not that, because everything about mental illness is sometimes just like a negative connotation.
Yeah.
And now that I'm adding positive connotations to the idea of having ADHD, I wake up in the morning excited now. And I'm not thinking, oh, I've got this thing that weighs me back and holds me down and, you know, doesn't allow me to be my best self. And I don't know, is this ADHD thing like a new mental health fad so that we can buy more ADHD medication out of the damn blue?
I just want to say one thing for our GMP. Yeah. We need to stop giving kids Concerta. We need to stop that. I'm telling you, we need to stop that. No.
But kids will react differently to Concerta, Tando.
No, most of the, like, because they also put him on a very high, like, dosage, and every single person I've heard who also had ADHD as a kid who got onto Concerta is just like,
we need to find the rape.
Okay, so again, this is why we say it's a very important one that we understand that what are we putting you on the medication for? Because some parents are like, yo, lomtana uhyper. And then they just want the medication. But other kids, like I said, we're trying to, there's an aim. So once you learn the specific skill, reading, writing, or maybe you get through high school and you're able to concentrate at school, that is when we then, you know, take the medication off. So when it comes to, that question that you asked was a very important question. Okay.
Yay!
That was an important question.
I got my dopamine validation, dopamine.
All right. So attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Okay. There are times when normal people cannot concentrate. There are times when normal people just feel very restless. And there are times when normal people are just very impulsive. Okay. I think the reason a lot of people relate to the videos that people make on TikTok and whatever about ADHD is because they talk about everyday experiences that we have. It's like you walk into a room, and as women, we're constantly thinking about 17 different things. So for a man, he might relate to it like, oh, whatever. But for you, you're like, yes, I do get distracted and I do what. But are you distracted because you've got a disorder, or are you distracted because you just have too much on your plate? Right. So I think we must, again, not pathologize a normal experience. One. And two, it's important that we have awareness about this, because like you're saying, you don't want to feel like you're going crazy when it's actually just something that a lot of people deal with. And we can then share ways that are not necessarily medication based. But there's one concept called body doubling. I love it that they do with people who live with ADHD. Right. So body doubling is, because I don't have the ability to sit by myself and concentrate for a long time, if I have someone doing it with me, then I'm able to do it, right? So I find it very difficult to concentrate at work when I have to study. Yeah. So what I used to do is I used to ask, I don't have a diagnosis of ADHD, but I know because the work is boring and social media has made me dopamine like reliant, because the work is boring, I ask my husband, okay, when I have to study, you must sit next to me and work. So those kind of tools.
What a husband. What a husband, man. What a husband. friend, our husband.
But you could even FaceTime a friend. You could even, like, together,
oh, we're all sitting, the time.
You know, and say, hey, we're studying now. We're sitting, you do your work or whatever you need to do. I need to study. And we sit for 2 hours or whatever, and then we take a break. We go another 2 hours, and we take a
My
break.
My friends, I think I'm annoying because I only get excited to shower when I'm talking to someone on the phone.
Exactly. So it makes you feel like there's someone doing the thing with you.
Yes.
And that's a normal experience, right? Okay. Because also because we're so dopamine, like social media, like, oh, we want our instant hits. That's a normal experience. You don't necessarily need to take medication for that, but there are things you can do, communities of people you can sit together. That's why working and studying in a group works. It's because the work is boring. I would rather be scrolling on social media.
But then I just want to talk to people about other things because, like, oh, no, I have company. I'm a complicated
person. Because you love people, right? I'm not saying that there isn't a disorder part of it, but if you take away the disorder part, you still have normal issues with attention, normal issues with hyperactivity, the same way like I would. And I think that's why it's important that people, especially like with the conversations we have at Mental Matters SA, is how does a normal experience become dysfunctional and how do we recognize the dysfunction to become a disorder?
Okay. Powerful. Thank you for answering that question. But I am diagnosed, so I don't know. I went to a psychiatrist and the whole thing happened. Okay, cool. So Tanda, what are we doing next?
Oh, my bad. Sorry. I zoned out thinking about like another question to ask, but We don't
need a part two.
She really needs to go. She has a meeting.
I know.
We need a part two.
A serious business lady.
Okay.
Yeah.
Court is in session.
Banabasikolo. Tangsikolo. Tangsikolo. Ukatipia. Okay, sorry.
Okay. Basically, today we're going to play two different games. So one is Word Circle. And then the other is, like, it's kind of, we're still workshopping. It's like, guess the emoji name. Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, what did I say it was last time? Word Illustrator. Yes, Word Illustrator. I cooked up. Yo, I was cooking.
Okay, let's try.
Can we have it on the screen?
I'm so confused, okay?
Okay, so you guys have to guess.
I know this one, Frozen.
Okay, I was.
I've got a foil.
Come now, Mom. Frozen. That was literally me as a kid.
I thought you were still going to explain how the game works. I get it. Like,
I got it. The minute it put there,
yeah,
let's go. It's like charades, but like with pictures or Pictionary.
It's picture, yeah, Pictionary, yeah. Something devil.
Not the devil is brother.
No.
I can't
the red devil, that. Blonde devil.
It's a Disney movie.
Something evil, Maleficent.
No.
Beauty and the Beast.
Guys, put it, okay.
But there was
Beauty.
A beast.
Okay,
there.
Yes, it's fine. It's fine.
Fine.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, now we got to go to the next
oh,
game.
Oh, you won the first
game. Yes!
There you go.
You want to ring the bell?
Yes.
I have a nice little bell at home.
Always, next one. Where's our word circle? That is my game, though. Oof.
Okay, Word Illustrator.
Oh, I know
podcast,
what it says.
Podcast.
Yep. Octopus.
Podcast.
I just saw a PA. No.
Now she's dying, Mom. You can't let that slide.
Okay. Can't see it. Tando, move. You're blocking the words.
So
what? We can't see. Can't you make the words white?
Oh, I know what
conflicts,
it is.
Conflicts. I'm like scone lake.
Same.
You need to make the words. Why are they black?
I'm like, why is scone lake?
Senna, seriously.
But we can both see, Mom. Yeah, we.
I can't.
Sabrina, what is this? What is it? I can't see.
I can't even see the letters properly.
Oh, I know what it is. You gotta go from this side.
Arbitration.
Looks like Braille.
No.
But it's two R's.
Can I say it? Yeah. It's barista.
Wow.
Oh, it's libraries.
I wasn't there.
Oh, no. I did not see that L.
I didn't see
I
it.
I wasn't
like,
there.
Wow. Anyway, okay.
Mom, you're taking mad L's today. I won't lie.
No, I'm not taking L's. This is a miss. I'm not taking a single L, even for the library. I can't see. No.
Nick, what? Is that a V?
Yeah.
Z.
Where's this Z? That's his N.
Okay, okay. It looks like a Z from where I'm sitting.
NIV.
No, I'm
that
not
sounds
switching
like the
myself.
Bible version, NIV. Yeah, I need Jesus here because I don't know what's happening here.
I mean, how long would it take to make these words white, though, guys?
Province.
Yay! It would be just as hard if the backing was there, though. I won't lie to no one.
No. Look, now the words are blue.
Do we have one more?
Mom, you've taken the absolute L.
No, I'm not taking a single thing.
No, you didn't get a single point.
What you lost on paper, you gained in spirit. Because I think the things we spoke about today.
This is optimism of a criminal level, but I love it for you. And I no, I gained a lot. Thank you so much for speaking to us, babe. Tando, thank you for the nice, cute games. Just, they scammed you there at the back. They played you.
Wasn't even me.
But yeah, babe, I think we're just all trying to be better as we grow, you know. I particularly don't feel, I don't know how you feel as a, I mean, you do you have pressure to be a perfect parent because you're a pediatrician and you're a doctor and you're like a social media superstar and you know what I mean?
No, because I've seen so many people mess it up and their kids came out fine, and I've seen people who've done it perfectly and their kids also had issues, and I realized that at the end of the day you just have to give yourself grace, right? Mm. If you are trying your best in the moment, you cannot control what happens in the future. You can't. And I think that's what I've realized about
me. That's beautiful.
Like, I cannot control what my child does. Even if I have the perfect routine, I make her the perfect meals, she's going to lose her mind. And I just have to be like, I care. It is what it is.
Mom, you're just always perfect, mom. And there's always going to be something they find wrong with you. And I think as a parent, you have to make peace with that as well. Wootsie, Vele, there's some things that are wrong with you. And from her perspective and what society has served her as the right things a parent should be doing, you're not going to always measure up. Yeah. And that is also okay, as long as you weren't serving abuse. That's the one thing we didn't talk about. Corporal punishment. Babe, you don't have time, though. You need to go to your meeting.
We need to come back.
You need to come back. But she told us before we started recording that, guys, you can't even do this to your child in a doctor's room. They have to send you straight to jail.
Okay, not straight to jail.
Straight to jail.
There needs to be an inquiry.
An inquiry?
Yes.
Just tell me, babe.
Listen, if you are doing this in front of me, what are you doing at home? The question I have to ask. If you're comfortable,
in front of someone.
In front of me. Uzomenza and Makfiega.
Tando, what was I doing to you at home? Because I definitely. Okay, edit that out. Everybody's panicking. But anyway, thank you so much, babe. Sibonga kakhulu.
Yes.
I think we need to, next time, I didn't know we were going to not have enough time to discuss everything, but we should segment. Okay, yes, today we are only talking about this.
Yes, because I think what I appreciate about conversations like this is mental health is not just these other symptoms of depression. This is how you treat it. It's what happens when my child comes home and they're giving me these experiences. How does that look like isolation? When my child says they are too scared to go to school and they're having symptoms, that's anxiety, but you don't, because it's not the textbook definition of anxiety. I want to have these chats. What does it look like in practical applications? When someone is on medication, how do I help support them? How do I prevent them from going into relapse? But also, how do I release myself of the guilt if something happens? You know?
Is there, I love Oxford Day Clinic. Is there a place where teenagers, what?
That was just so random.
Yes. No, to get help. Yes, yeah. Like, so, so if you have medical aid, there's Akiso. We'll see.
I don't like Akiso.
I mean, hey, I'm giving you the options. You'll see. But also, some of the hospitals themselves also have psychiatric facilities, and your psychologist, your individual psychologist, may also have smaller centers that you may be able to go to. If you're in government, usually we don't have inpatient services for kind of like more stable people. So you'll have health groups. Like activity groups, occupational therapists really organize like activity groups for people to do. They may have
DBT groove, where you at? This is really funny because I have a meeting with my psychiatrist on Wednesday.
Yeah,
I do.
Exactly. So
Dr. Porter.
And then in government, you also, the problem is because there's so little access, the appointments are quite few and far between. So psychiatrists will prioritize people who are actually really, really sick or dangerous to themselves. But you will be able to see psychologists at your local clinic, community health center, or even your hospital.
And do you rate social workers?
Let me tell you something about social workers. They are the hardest working, least paid people in the government sector. I don't really have much experience with them in private, but I think the work that they do for the level of trauma that they're exposed to is insane.
And why doesn't the government then equip them more? Like a psychiatrist can obviously, someone who's a qualified psychiatrist paid for their education. Do they give them enough support in terms of just even information and training them like they're training a psychiatrist?
So I think the training is there. The problem is the support and the maintenance that they need, because they see a lot of things. They don't just deal with mental health issues. They deal with abuse, not just between like for children, but they deal with family abuse. They deal with, you know, like a lot of societal ills that they have to go and assess. And sometimes they make decisions, for example, like if you are hitting your child here and they go to your house and they actually realize the hitting is the least of the problem. You guys are doing drugs here or whatever, whatever. You've got it's X, Y, and Z. This environment is not safe. This child doesn't bath every day. Then they unearth all these other things, and that actually puts them in danger, because now the family's like, you've taken my child away from me for nothing, you know?
And they could also say,
you understand?
Gabriza.
So that's the thing, is like, I think social workers don't get enough credit.
So shout out to all the social workers in South Africa.
We professionals, physios, you. OTs, occupational therapists, social workers, all of them. They do such an amazing, speech therapists, audiologists, all of you guys.
Shout out to Anneli.
Do you have a parting word with your fans? Because you've actually got a lot of those. Like, your social media crazy girl. I'm so proud of you. Like, what you're doing terms of just serving us a family dynamic.
Yeah.
And then if you have just any parting words for our listeners or our watchers, our audience.
Yes.
And yeah, your people. What would you like to say?
So I think the biggest thing that I want to say is give yourself grace. Like, it's everybody's first time on earth living this life thing. Not everybody's going to get it perfect. And even the ones who do get it perfect probably are that way because they messed up a few times that they didn't tell you about. Social media is what we see. And I'm not saying that my life is perfect. I just think I have learned a system that works for me that might not work for other people. So don't look at my life and say, oh, you're raising your child so beautifully. Like, no, there's a lot that goes behind the scenes. And I think you need to apply a system that works for you, because a system never fails. If it's a bad system, it's always going to release bad results. But if it's a good system, it will release good results. And then for the people that watch your podcast, I think it's really important to have a conversation between a mother and a daughter, because there's dynamics that you guys bring out that wouldn't happen if we are the same age or even if, you know, we were a male and a female, right? So I think the conversations you are having are really necessary, because it also sees how parents can talk to their kids in a healthy way, and also how kids can talk to their parents. Because I think a lot of the time we think a child is there to be seen and not to be heard. So thank you for giving Thando a voice. And thank you for also, like, because you today she said to me, oh, I'm just going to be nonchalant. I'm not going to talk. The girl was asking questions. The girl was interacting. Okay.
I'm nonchalant, guys. I don't know
she got it.
So thank you for all of that. And just really look at the balance between it, and always remember that who you are here in social media is not necessarily who you have to be in your real life. Like, the people who love you know you, and that's all you need, really.
Thanks, babe. Thank you for the feedback. We appreciate it. You're try and welcome. Do our best. Take care of yourself. And she's already cooked, so say less, but you know what? Like, subscribe. What is it?
Comment, share.
Comment, like, subscribe, share. Yo, man, just show us some love, and show Dr. Kanyile some love. She's doing great things. All her social media handles are going to be on the screen right now. All her social media handles are going to be on the screen right now if they haven't already been on the screen. We really appreciate you, and please do share these conversations with other people. And even if they don't want to watch, please, whatever you've learned here, go and share it. We're just trying to make this world a better place by saying less. That's all. Okay, thank you.
Welcome, ones. I might have to let it drop.